We would like to be quiet to avoid any background noises. After the presentation, there's going to be a question and answer session. If you wish to ask any questions at that point, simply press the asterisk key followed by number one on your keyboard. And now I have the pleasure of giving the word to Mrs. Natalia Agudelo, Director of Investment Relationships. Mrs. Agudelo, you have the word. Okay, good morning. This is Natalia Agudelo, Director of Investment Relations. We thank you for being here at this call, in which we're going to discuss the results of Grupo Argos for the second quarter of 2018. I'm here with Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos, Alejandro Pérez Hidradita, Vice President of Corporate Finances, Camilo Abello, Vice President of Corporate Affairs of Grupo Argos, Mauricio Osa, President of Odinsa, Pablo Arroyave, Vice President of Corporate Finances of Odinsa, and Maria Clara Aristizabal, Manager of the Real Estate Business. This teleconference is being translated to English simultaneously. I would like to remind you that all our communiques notifications, as well as other result reports and other relevant information, are published in our Spanish and English webpage at www.grupoargos.com. In the same webpage, we have made available the presentation that we're going to follow in the next teleconference. You can download it by going to the Información Financiera section, and there you can find the report second quarter 2018. So I give the word to Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos. Thank you, Natalia. Good morning to you all. Thanks for being with us in this teleconference to communicate the results of the second quarter of the ongoing year. But before going over the results that we closed the first semester of this year with, I would like to mention that the management dynamics of our assets in our portfolio of our group makes our results have a special dynamic, which difficults comparing it in the short term. So to facilitate the understanding, we have made an effort in this presentation to give you pro forma figures that eliminate any specific elements of non-recurring operations in both periods. Likewise, it is important to keep a horizon that goes beyond the quarter so we can integrally value and measure the values given by the implementation of the company strategy. This strategy is being developed in two ways. On one side, selective, strategic, and profitable growth, and on the other side is the profitabilization of our investments. Both of these routes are complementary, and following this route is going to allow us to have a more robust, more robust, more resilient portfolio to changes and the natural cycles in our industry. Our results until June of 2018 confirmed that the advances made not only in terms of growth but also in profitabilization are generating a higher value in each one of our businesses and a higher consolidated value for Grupo Argos and shareholders. First thing I would like to highlight is the operational health of our strategic businesses, which, despite the low dynamism of markets such as the Colombian market, continue generating positive contributions to the group's income, which for the second quarter of this year reached 3.6 trillion pesos with regards to last year, a growth of 1%. This positive behavior was exempted by the discipline in our expense, which is part of our corporate culture and which allowed us to generate a growing consolidated EBITDA of 891 billion pesos. And I highlight this positive contribution because it was a positive contribution to all the strategic business. This was 1.8 billion Colombian pesos. In this point, it is necessary to highlight that the growth of the EBITDA is structural, as indicated by the growth of this specific indicator for four consecutive quarters. In operational matters, shares have been strengthened because of the role performed by Argos as a holding and the generation of competitiveness in the use of capital by the leveraging of the group. This work has been implemented in all our affiliates through the emissions in the fixed and variable market and by operations which add for the last 12 months close to 3.4 trillion Colombian pesos. Out of this number, close to 1 trillion was managed during the last quarter with the unleveraging of Celsia, also the payment of commercial papers of Grupos Argos, and the issuance of commercial papers of Argos Cement, Cementos Argos, to detail just a few examples. These previous actions are generating a reduction with regards to the consolidated cost of the debt, which for the closing of the second quarter of 2018 went from 9.10% to 7.46% in local currency. This implies financial savings that reach 22 billion Colombian pesos for this quarter. This way, the good behavior in terms of our financial expenses is generating a net utility which consolidatedly is growing at a rate of 8% compared to the same quarter of last year and at a rate of 26% compared to the first semester of that same year. Finally, it is important to highlight that we exercise our role as an active holding by giving the example, and this is why our results are the expression of the rigor in that we follow with regards to administrative expenses, which for this quarter, which have shown a reduction of 3% year after year. The good structural behavior of our strategic investments, added to the financial and expense discipline that we have, has allowed us a growth of 13% with regards to the net utility of the holding for the second trimester of 2018. And if this was to be adjusted with regards to the payment made for 74 billion Colombian pesos made to SIC, that would be 155 billion Colombian pesos, or 39% more than during that same period of the year 2017. Now, I would like to go over the consolidated results of the group. After briefly summarizing the most relevant actions or things that occurred during the quarter, I would like you to revise the consolidated financial statements, which you're going to find on slides number 4 and 5 of this presentation. For the second quarter of this year, consolidated results confirmed the positive dynamics of the road concessions and energy businesses of the company, and they counterattacked the businesses of the cement business, which although were positive operationally, were affected by relevant expenses which are non-recurrent, such as the fine imposed by the SIC for 74 billion Colombian pesos. The consolidated income of Grupo Argos during the second quarter of 2018 reached 3.6 trillion Colombian pesos, growing 1% year after year. These incomes are supported by the positive contributions of all the strategic businesses, meaning cement, road concessions, and energy. With regards to the contribution of Cementos Argos for the quarter, it is worth indicating the good results observed in the United States regional. We had a positive recovery in the markets of Texas and Florida, with double-digit growth in the concrete and cement businesses, which compensated for the 2% drop in the Colombian market. The energy business on its own was also strengthened by the better dynamic with regards to prices in the Colombian market, along with a better generation in Colombia and in Central America. And in a weighted growth, this amounts to 2%. It is important to highlight an increase of 10% in the energy contracts in Colombia, where we are observing a very favorable dynamic with regards to better prices and shorter terms with regards to contracts. With regards to the EBITDA, it grew 2% with regards to the same period of 2017. If we exclude the effects of the payment made to the SIC and the TTV operation, which took place during the second quarter of last year, the growth of the EBITDA would be 9%. Let's remember that this TTV operation is the monetizing of the annual flows of the dividends of Grupo Sura, which affected us positive in terms of income last year, while in 2018, those dividends are coming on a quarterly basis. In this period, I would also like to mention that the expansion of the Bogotá airport, which took place early this year, is impacting us very positively in terms of Opein's results. During this quarter, Opein registered an EBITDA growth of 18%. To conclude this analysis of the consolidated results, the minor financial expenses in which we have just emphasized resulted in an important increase in regards to the net profit, which grew 8% for the quarter, 35% pro forma after the previously mentioned adjustments. The same effect took place with the net profit of the holding, which grew 39% in an adjusted matter. Now we're going to go over with the slide on page number 6. Where we see that until June, the separated income of Grupo Argos was 99 billion pesos. These are 69 billion Colombian pesos for participation and 30 billion Colombian pesos that come from the real estate business. It is important to indicate that results for the same quarter of 2017, including 67 billion Colombian pesos corresponding to the TTV transaction that was mentioned that brought us our dividends from Grupo Asura. This is why there is no possibility for a clear comparison between these two periods. With regard to the line of income, I would like to highlight the energy contribution to the method of participation. It grew 32% year after year, and this is the result of a clear and well-executed strategy which continues providing incomes and EBITDA and savings with regards to financial expenses, which translate in a better utility for the holding of close to 67 billion Colombian pesos and a growth of 56% year after year. With regards to the cement business contribution, it was impacted by non-recurrent expenses, which we have already mentioned, the 74 billion Colombian pesos of this fine by to the SIC. In any case, it is important to highlight that the results, operational results of the company continue showing constant recuperation as a result of the best efficiency program, which allows us to have a consolidated EBITDA of close to 404 billion Colombian pesos, which is 6% higher than the results of that same period in 2017. On another hand, the road concession business showed a reduction linked to a higher expense in regards to deferred taxes related to the application in 2018. This year, with regards to this policy of deferred taxes for joint business and retain link, as well as the validation of this tax for all the concessions that are controlled by ODINSA. In this purpose, although it is not an erogation of cash flow, this had a negative impact, non-recurring accounting impact of close to 13 billion Colombian pesos. With regards to administration and sales expenses, as you can see in the chart on the slide, recurrent and controllable expenses of Grupo Argos for the first semester continue decreasing. This is aligned with our efficiency policy, and they show a reduction of 3% year after year. Expense increases is related to expenses in projects, taxes, depreciations, and amortizations. Separated EBITDA was at 71 billion Colombian pesos for a margin of 72%, one of the best margins registered in the history of this holding. Before analyzing the financial results business by business, I would like to ask you to look at slide number 7 and look at the evolution of our leveraging indicators, which also showed a very positive dynamic as a result of the joint work for improving the capital structure, both at the holding as well as of the businesses and companies of the Grupo Argos. In June 2018, debt was closed at 1.8 trillion Colombian pesos. This is a stable with regards to June 2017. Leveraging indicators are at 1.8 times what they used to be, which allow us to continue having the flexibility with regards to our growth route. With regards to debt service, we have conducted different actions that have resulted in a reduction in its cost. It went from 7.9% to 6.6% for the holding between June 2017 and June 2018, one of the lower rates that was ever shown in this company. This reduction has allowed us savings in financial interest of close to 12.5 billion Colombian pesos in the first semester of this year. Finally, we're closing this semester with a cash flow of 14 billion Colombian pesos as a result of a dynamic start in which we exercise our active role as a holding with regards to strategic businesses, and at the same time, we took advantage of market opportunities to refinance our debt with better rates and also expanding its profile. Now, I would like you to go over the main advances in the road concessions, cement, energy, and real estate businesses of the company. Let's begin with Odinsa on slide number 10. In this business, I would like to highlight how during the second quarter of this year, the execution of our existing projects continues going well and presenting advances as planned in all the road concessions under our management. With regards to the Proyecto Pacifico 2 project, we observe a very good dynamic there with regards to advancement of works, which have allowed us to reach a 46% in terms of execution for the month of June and a 49% in terms of advancement for the month of July. This is ahead of the original schedule. It is worth to highlight the advance of the great technical complexity works, such as the Mulatos Tunnel, which is reporting the first 2,800 meters of excavations. By the end of 2018, we expect to close with an investment that is going to be close to 400 billion Colombian pesos. In this important road corridor, as well as in all our road concessions, we are working as technically rigorous as possible with the idea of complying with the expectations of the country and providing outstanding works. This is a project that is going to connect a very important part in the center of Colombia with our two coastal areas, with our two oceans. With regards to operations during the second quarter of 2018, Odinsa concessions operated properly as indicated with regards to the traffic flow in roads and the number of passengers taken care of in our airport concessions. With regards to roads, the daily average was 72,000 vehicles, a very similar number with regards to the same period in 2017. But this volume is affected by the temporary closing of the IVA bridge at the Autopista del Café road concession, which has been closed for a few months this year. Once this road is reopened again, we expect that road concession is going to recuperate its number. With regards to the number of passengers taken care of at Odinsa Airport, reached at 9 million for a total growth of 3%. With regards to international passengers, which represent a higher income due to this airport tax that is paid to the concessionaires, a growth was 4%. It is important to increase the number the increase in terms of the number of the key port passengers, which was close to 5%, and this confirms the recuperation in passenger traffic at that terminal after following this economic disacceleration of Ecuador during 2016-2017. Now, to go over the financial results, I would like to ask you to look at slide number 12. Income for the second quarter of 2018 were 217,000 billion Colombian pesos, a reduction of 6% with regards to the same period of 2017. This reduction is attributed mostly to the income perceived or received by Odinsa during the second quarter of 2017 due to the sale of its share in the road concession Santa Marta Paraguanchon, which back then was 28.5 billion Colombian pesos. Without this, the results of the EBITDA would have increased 7% year after year. EBITDA closed at 127 billion Colombian pesos, a drop of 7% with regards to last year. This smaller figure, again, is explained by this effect that I just mentioned, which impacted the June 2017 EBITDA. If we were to eliminate that effect, the operational EBITDA of Odinsa would also show a pro forma EBITDA of 17%. Net profits were at 31 billion Colombian pesos, which are a reduction resulting from higher expenses, which, as explained, began to be applied in 2018, and which it's basically recognizing deferred taxes because of profits retained from linked and related business in relation to the deferred taxes of the North is Roads, Coffee, and the Boulevard Turístico del Atlántico, which at 14 billion Colombian pesos for the trimester, for the quarter, and again, are not a negative effect on cash flow. It is important to highlight that during 2017 taxes, the deferred taxes took place during towards the end of the year, while in 2018 we have been paying this on a quarterly basis. As a consequence, these deferred taxes are not really comparable to what we have paid this year by June 30, 2018. And because of Odinsa's results do not consolidate OPA, and I would like you to revise over the figures of this company, which are presented on slide number 13. At El Dorado Airport, the total movement of passengers during the second quarter of 2018 was 8 million, showing a growth of 3% versus the same period of 2017. It is important to highlight an increase of international passengers at a rate of 5%, reaching 2.7 million during this period. Traffic, international traffic growth, contrast with the mix dynamic, which has occurred also with the passenger of national, with the traffic of national passengers, which is affecting our operations. And during the second quarter of this year, it showed a growth of 1.6%, which is below what we expected. Operational income corresponding to the regulated and non-regulated income for the quarter reached 244 billion pesos for a growth of 13%. And again, this is the result of the traffic of international passengers which pay a higher airport tax, and also the result of the growth in non-regulated income thanks to the delivery of new commercial spaces in those airports. The EBITDA reached 86 billion pesos, an increase of 19%, and the net profit for the quarter was 22 billion pesos, a growth of 18% with regards to last year. This shows a positive management aligned with the business plan for that specific airport asset. Having gone over the business concession of business, I would like to invite you to go over the cement business on the next slide. For this quarter, highlighted are the results of the regional operations of the United States and Central America, which adopted a model focused on efficiency following what Colombia had done. They began to show improvements with regards to their expenses in administration and sales, showing reductions of 7.4 and 12.5% respectively, for a total savings of 7%. The efforts of the Best Efficiency Program are the reason for the reduction of cost optimization in terms of administration and sales expenses, and optimizing capital days of Argos with the objective of making Cementos Argos a company that is more agile and competitive, and looking to increase the free cash flow and reducing leveraging. With regards to operations, this cement dispatches grew 1% thanks to the good performance of the North American performance, which had contributions 3% higher of those reported in June 2017, where two-figure growths are highlighted in the states of Texas and Florida and the Carolinas and the Mid-Atlantic region. Likewise, we highlight the volume growth of the Central American market of 1%, which, thanks to the good proper behavior of the markets in Haiti, the West Caribbean, and the East Caribbean and the Dominican Republic, we were able to compensate the negative effects of the general strike of construction workers in Panama, which affected that market for 22 days. Likewise, concrete volumes showed growth of 1% consolidatedly, which were also favored by the good dynamics of the American, North American market, which grew at 4%, again highlighting the growth in the markets of Houston and Dallas with 24% and 5% respectively. With regards to the results that appear on slide 17, we can observe how an improvement in the volume dynamics supported by the North American market reflects in an income that grew 1.4% year after year and reached 2.2 trillion pesos for that quarter. We would like to highlight again a reduction of 7% with regards to administration and sales expenses consolidatedly, excluding depreciation. This is a fact that goes aligned with the efforts, with the efficiency efforts that we have focused. EBITDA for that quarter includes the payment of this fine to seek for 74 billion pesos, and this has an important effect in this indicator, which ends this year with this period with 328 billion pesos. However, if we were to omit this effect, the EBITDA would have reached 444 billion Colombian pesos for a margin of 18%, a figure that would have reflected the best operational efficiency for Cementos Argos for all its regional offices. To conclude this area of the cement business results, the net profit for the quarter was minus 2 billion pesos. Likewise, this was affected by what we have mentioned. However, if we were to eliminate this fine to the SIC, net profit for the trimester would have been a pro forma 72 billion Colombian pesos, higher, way higher than the 48 billion Colombian pesos registered for the same period ending in June 2017. Now, I would like to go over the results of the energy business that we can see on slides 19, 20, and 21 on this presentation. After a successful closing of the share emission or the share issuance process, ELSI advanced with the strengthening of its capital structure by prepaying 760 billion pesos, which translates in a reduction in its cost of 130 basic points, which represents 13 billion pesos for this quarter. With this advancement, the company closes the second quarter of 2018 with an indicator of debt leveraging net EBITDA of 2.5 times, lower than the 3.5 times that were shown for the same period of last year. On its own, EPSA, remember EPSA is the growth vehicle for Celsia in Colombia, it plays the first stretch of green bonds for 70 billion Colombian pesos out of a global cap of 420 billion. And this makes it the first Colombian company in issuing this type of bonds in the real sector. Going into the operational figures, here we observe an increase of 2% in the volume of generation, and this is the result of higher thermal production in front of an increase in terms of reduction in the Caribbean coast region. On the other side, energy sales showed a reduction of 2.5%, showing a slower rhythm of growth of the Colombian market. And this is compensated by a better dynamic of the non-regulated market, which grew at a rate of 5.2% during the quarter. And this allowed Celsius to increase its contract sales by close to 10%. The latter resulted in an increase of 10% of the consolidated income, which in turn reached 821 billion pesos for June of this year. During the second quarter, Celsia reached an EBITDA of 269 billion pesos, slightly lower than the one registered during the same period of 2017, and this is due to, again, a higher thermal generation, which also implies higher costs. With regards to EBSA, we would like to highlight that for the this quarter reached an EBITDA of 42%, the highest showed in these past 2 years. Likewise, the result of a prudent politic in terms of generation, the level of the reservoirs went from 43% to 78%, which is going to allow us to confront the lower contributions in terms of rains expected for the second semester of this year. The net profits of the holding reached 67 billion pesos for the quarter, 56% growth, and this is highly explained by this strategy of on leveraging that I just explained. Now let's go to the results of the real estate business that you can find on slides 23 and 24 so we can conclude. During the second quarter, there were income with regards to cash flow for 14 billion pesos corresponding to the sales of plots, closing this period with 16 billion pesos. It is important to highlight a reduction of 13% in administrative expenses. They went from 7 billion to 6 billion, and this better behavior is mostly explained by an active management in terms of expenses, and this is also due to renegotiation of contracts in different areas. With regards to the real estate leasing business, we would like to highlight the positive results of Pactia, a real estate fund, which has had annual results of close to 6.9% with the value, equity value, corresponding to Grupo Argos, reaching 737 billion pesos by the end of the month of June. Pactia continues advancing with regards to the net area, net leasing area, which by the end of the quarter was 721 billion square meters, an increase of 40%. Assets under our administration added to a total of 3.5 trillion, representing a net income of 67%, growing 25%, and having a consolidated EBITDA that closed at 35 billion pesos. Before continuing with the questions and answer sessions, I would like to highlight that beyond the results of this quarter, there is a positive trend in our businesses, and that is the strengthening of our competitiveness as a leverage for profitable and sustainable growth. And this trend, added to the good expectations in terms of the expansion of the infrastructure sector in Colombia as well as in the United States, this allows us to see favorable signals in the future, both for each one of our businesses, as for the Grupo Argos. Grupo Argos, a single vehicle of exhibition of the business sectors of cement, energy, and concessions in the Americas. Looking towards the future, we see a short term with positive signals in the three strategic businesses and in the real estate businesses. And these are derived from a Colombian economy that continues recovering. With regards to real estate, for instance, during the month of July, we had two very relevant operations in the Atlantic coast, which allows us to emphasize an increase in the levels of consumer confidence in our country, as indicated by the Consumer Confidence Index in our country, which reached 15.5 points for the first semester of this year, something that had not happened since 2 years ago. This transaction, plus the positive signals of the sectors of housing and infrastructure, both in Colombia as well as abroad, allow us to visualize a mid and long term with high opportunities for growth. And we continue preparing for those without tirelessly, not only strengthening our operations in our business, but also positioning Grupo Argos as an investment attractor, as a global investment attractor for competitivity in Colombia as well as in the Americas. With this, we can continue with questions and answers that you may have. We are at this point in time, we would like to remind you that if you have any questions, you need to press the asterisk key followed by the number one in case you have any questions. And the first question comes from Rodrigo Sanchez from Corredores da Vivienda. Good morning. Thanks for the presentation. Actually, I have two questions. The first question is related to expected investments in Pacifico Dos for the year 2018. Although I know they are 400 billion pesos for the years, I would like to know what percentage of those investments you have executed so far, and also if you expect any significant investments for El Dorado Airport this year. And the second question is in regards with the expectations of the Telefónica Inmobiliaria Fund for 2018. Rodrigo, thank you. I would like to give the word to Pablo Arroyave, CFO of Odinsa, so he can answer the first part of your question with regards to the investment plans at El Pacifico, to El Dorado, and Dra. Maria Clara Aristizabal is going to expand the business plan in the business segments of PACS with regards to your second question. Thank you, Jorge. Rodrigo, with regards to your question of how much of those 400 billion of CAPEX in Pacifico 2 have been executed, well, we can say that for the past 3 months, we have been executing close to 40 billion Colombian pesos. So as of June, we can say that we were just below 200 billion pesos. Approximately, we had spent 160 billion. But again, at this rhythm of 40 billion per month, we can obviously or clearly reach that execution of 400 billion for the year 2018. And again, this is what we have scheduled. For the year 2019, we have a CAPEX execution that is similar. And for the year 2020, is much lower because that is the year that we finished delivering our construction. With regards to Keyport, Pablo, any relevant comments? Well, El Dorado, the CAPEX there was finished with precisely the delivery of these commercial spaces that are having an effect on the income and the EBITDA. And with regards to Keyport, there's an investment that is going to be executed in the next 2 years, and this is a contractually mandatory execution, and this is close to $70 million in 2 years. Actually, this was a larger number, but we reached an agreement with the concessionaire, keeping in mind that traffic had been lagging for 2 years and that it was precisely not necessarily to make that investment. It was understood, and they allowed us to move it on time, so we only have to do those $70 million for the next 2 years. Maria Clara, if you want to answer the question with regards to the expansion plan of the leasable area of Paxia. Paxia grow at GLA in terms of its area. 226,000 was the total, and this corresponds to an opening in Bosa, a shopping center in Bosa, also San Carlos, an industrial center, also in the region of Cundinamarca. ETSA was also expanded in El Valle, in El Valle del Cauca. So again, those 206,000 square meters are explained. And by the closing of 2018, we expect El Ensueño Shopping Center is also going to come into our operation. So that is an additional 30,000. So that is, again, close to the 221,000 that I just mentioned in regards to square meters. The next question, Federico Perez from Bancolombia. Good morning to you all. Thank you for the presentation. And I also thank you for publishing this information, this pro forma figures, which allow us to understand better. I have two questions. The first question is in relation to Odinsa. In general terms, if you can tell us about the need for capital that the company has for the next 2 years, and also if you can tell us a little bit about the leveraging that it is currently available. I would like to know if you have any capital needs or if you're looking for any investors, looking for any new investors, keeping in mind that this concession at El Meta, we do not know yet if it is going to be restructured or not. And the second question is more with regards to the holding. Again, keeping in mind those, what you're doing with regards to the real estate business, I would like to know what the holding expects with this money that you're going to collect. Perhaps you may reduce leveraging of the holding, or if you can tell us of any other uses that you may have for this money that you're collecting. Okay, Federico, thank you for your question. There's more than two questions in your question, and we would like to, again, divide the question as necessarily. The first part of your question, you mentioned Odinsa, and I would like to begin with the current leveraging situation of the company, where we are in terms of our current levels, and I would like to begin by saying that, or by giving you a strategic consideration, and that is that the reorganization of the assets of Odinsa is taking place, so it has a balance in terms of the typology of assets in its portfolio. In other words, not to have only airports and road concessions, but to have also distribution in balance in currency and also distribution in the balance of equity or capital or of debt during the life of the project. In other words, we are balancing, in other words, mature projects that can generate cash flow with projects that have intensive equity or debt contribution with, by the structuring of project financing in most cases, which are in most cases debts without resources for Odinsa and for Grupo Argo. So as a philosophy, or the philosophy of this strategy, again, is a balance in currency, balance in terms of region, balance in terms of typology, and balancing in terms of different times with regards to capital requirement, to give it the necessary flexibility and to give it the highest risk return possible to the company and to the group. And this is, I think, the most relevant the strategy with regards to the Grupo Argos. Again, it is not having an excess in terms of exposure, in terms of currency or mismatched currencies or consolidation or risk consolidation at any given point. So with this framework, again, with this strategic framework as to how to continue with the development of Odinsa, I would like to ask Pablo now with to give us a little bit more information of with regards to these figures of indebtedness, again, those consolidated figures, and then we can perhaps speak about the future. Yes, this consolidated indebtedness figures, in other words, the consolidated debt, which, as Jorge mentioned, is a debt mostly related to project finance, which has no resources against Odinsa or Grupo Argos, that is at 5.6. In other words, the consolidated debt versus the consolidated EBITDA is a 5.6. And this we can say is high, but keeping in mind that we have a specific project, which is Pacifico Dos, which is contributing mostly to that debt and generating a small EBITDA, this can give us the peace of mind that according to the life cycle of that specific asset, we are having the correct leverage. And with regards to the need for capital, well, precisely this year and next year, the only capital need that we have at Odinsa, if we do not decide this topic of the Meta Rota network, the main would be the Pacifico Dosa project, and we would cash flow that we generate in the other assets can cover those Pacifico 2 needs. So what it's currently an obligation and a way to provide funds for that obligation, we have a peace of mind with regards to that. If we were to go into additional projects, perhaps we would have to look as to how to provide funds for the equity for new projects. With regards to our vision of the future, I would like to give the word to Alejandro in a minute, but the strategic framework, and keep in mind that what we have defined as the role for the holding and of its avenues for strategic growth, capital allocation, it plays a very important role here with regards to the capacity that we have for going in and out of different projects. So flexibility is the key word here for maintaining this financial dynamic that we have that can allow us to do investments or de-investments or going for the capital, going for the capital markets to be able to leverage projects that are part of the strategic growth of our business. So we'll give the word again to Maria Clara in just a few minutes, but I'm beginning her response. So what do we do if we have any important investments, such as in a business such as the real estate business or in other operations that we are working on and that we're going to go into detail later? So again, the idea here is to be able to lower the levels of leveraging and be able to support any equity requirement in any of the businesses that becomes necessary. So with this vision, Alejandro, you do the position with regards to the debt consolidated and separated, and again, the answer for Federico. Yes, Federico, of course. With regards to the topic of monies, as Jorge mentioned, I would like to give you the figures. Our leveraging by June is $1.58 billion. This is 1.8 EBITDA. Debt and an EBITDA over coverage interest of 1.21. Part of that flow, cash flow, is going to be used for topics of unleveraging. But this unleveraging is basically going to allow us what Jorge Mario said, is basically having that flexibility for looking at future possibilities. Currently, Grupo Argos separately has a lot of financial flexibility as a result of all these figures that we have mentioned. And what we are constantly looking at is for opportunities. Perhaps the more important role of a holding is assigning capital efficiently and also looking as to how to move assets from one area to another. In a consolidated manner, our leverage, if we are to look June versus June, it went to 15.9 billion pesos by the end of this year compared to last year, and our indebtedness EBITDA levels went from 4 times to 3.3 times. So consolidatedly, what we see is that the organization, the company, is reducing the leveraging in some businesses, Celsia, for instance, and this gives us financial flexibility consolidatedly as well. So basically what this indicates is what we have been doing, strengthening our capital structure, and also emphasizes this flexibility that is also increasing. And with regards to the real estate, Maria Clara, if you would like to mention anything with regards to the investments and so on. Yes, this is usually a self-financed business as it is proposed in Grupo Argos. So those resources are not needed in this business because every time we have a new project, we have basically sold the properties, the lots that give us a break point. And with that is that we finance the urbanism more. So this the investment is not needed in this area. So thank you, Federico. I hope that we have responded your question. Yes, thank you very much. A question from Natalia Segovia from Porvenir. Mrs. Segovia, you can go ahead with the question. The line is open. So we'll move on to the next question. Daniel Guardiola from BTG. Well, I have a couple of questions. Bernard, Natalia, Alejandro, how are you? My question is with regards to the non-listed active portfolio and actually specifically the road concessions and the holding for the road concessions with Audienza. With regards to road concessions, well, my question is basically, again, keeping in mind the secondary market with regards to a secondary road concessions, 4G road, I would like to know if you are thinking about increasing your position in this segment. considering the balance that is being on leverage. And with regards to Odin's, I would like to know and about any updates with regards to any possible reductions with the control that Grupo Argos has over Odinsa, and if you can give us any information on that. And additionally, I have a question with regards to, again, the non-listed assets. We can see that arbitrarily. Well, I would like to know if you, as a holding, as a Grupo Argos, are considering implementing any strategies to unblock the hidden value of some of the assets. Daniela, thank you very much. It's great to speak with you, and you mentioned many, many topics, okay? I would like to begin with the first part of your question. Odinsa, or the infrastructure business. Again, that question, there's more than one question there. Obviously, the answer is that this company, this organization, and this is not only applicable to the road concession or the concession business, our company has decided that investing and growing organically, if strategically coupled and financially logical with our company, is a good strategy. So we are not, we are looking, we're not ignoring opportunities in the road concession business and also airport concession business in this region. What this means is that we are permanently looking for opportunities, and those opportunities are going to have to be analyzed quite carefully to make sure that they make financial sense. In other words, that they do not remove or take away from the flexibility of the organization, and also to guarantee that risk concentrations. Again, where this policy that we have with regards to risk and return, we have to analyze that we do not go into regions or countries that pose a significant risk. And this is a strategy of this organization to balance geographies and returns and so on. So the answer is yes, we are looking for opportunities, but we are looking very carefully to guarantee that in the balance of our portfolio, those opportunities have a sense financially and strategically. Currently, we do not have any processes with regards to the secondary market that have advanced enough to be revealed. But yes, we're definitely looking. In addition, we are looking, as Odinsa has mentioned, and in a few minutes I will give the word to Mauricio Ossa. We have announced the structuring of a project of private initiatives such as the Cartagena Airport or the industrial corridor of La Sabana, which are brownfield, green or brownfield initiatives that complement the portfolio of Odinsa. With regards to the surplus of capital, we do not have a time framework, but obviously Odinsa has become a platform, a very dynamic, very interesting platform for the investment market. This is an option that I have said publicly, is an option that we keep in mind, and that option is, again, being able to invite additional long-term investors to the concession aspect, but we do not have a specific time framework for this. Obviously, a player as Odinsa, with its regional exposure, with its assets in terms of airports and road concessions, with the opportunities that it has for new projects such as the Cartagena Airport. Obviously, Odinsa is a very valuable asset for many players of different types who may have, who may want to have a significant presence in our region. So this is definitely a path that we explore openly. We have said it, and many participants are interested, but currently we have no nothing specifically defined, nor a time framework for its execution. With regards to the strategy of Grupo Argos, in terms of its business, concession business, well, before we go into the structure of the corporate group or the value of those investments or areas, I would like to give the word to Mauricio Ossa, who is with us in Bogotá. I would like for Mauricio to complement my answer.
Okay, thank you, Jorge Mario. Thank you all. Thank you, and good morning.
Well, there's very little for me to add. Clearly, Odinza is an attractive platform with a balanced portfolio in terms of regions and state of different projects, and of course, is an asset that carefully analyzes secondary market opportunities. But perhaps the growth avenues for Odinza are to the growth routes. The first one is, again, identifying opportunities in the secondary market as the focus of the question. And the second route is that Odinza has an internal capacity for structuring and generating new projects. New projects that, according to our strategic reasoning, new projects that would aim at expanding current assets or projecting current assets to longer-term visions, or to also identify the possibility of structuring new assets to complement existing assets. In this sense, we have begun to advance with determination in the three projects that Jorge Mario has mentioned. We have a project in the feasibility stage in the Sabana de Bogotá. Is a road project, and it links Soacha with Chía, and this is in the west. Again, this is a corridor that would connect six municipalities in the Sabana, and it is also located in an area where 30% of the load areas of the region are. It connects to the Sabana de Bogotá, is something that we're doing with the governor's office of Cundinamarca. And with regards to the contract terms, we should be coming to a decision or closing the phase in the next 6 months and moving on to the next phase. A better known project is the new airport of Cartagena. We all know that the current airport is a concession with a finite term, and that the current airport has structural limitations to grow. And it is also known to many people the strategic and important location of this airport in the city, for the city, for the region, and for South America. This is why we are participating on a project in the feasibility stage, which closed the stage of previous questioning last week, and it should be closed in the feasibility stage towards the end of this year. Again, this is a new airport that should become operational in 2025 with a capacity of 9 million passengers and a capacity that could increase up to 30 million passengers. And of course, we also have an initiative that we call the Bogotá Airport System, Sistema Aeroportuario Bogotá. What we're projecting there is to increase the capacity of the airport in such a way that we're able to meet the important increase in terms of that demand of this airport. Important data: this airport moves more than 60% of the passengers of the country. Approximately 32 million out of the 50 million. It is responsible, the airport, for 50% of the foreigners that come into the country, responsible for more than 60% of Colombians who travel abroad. Is the gate to Latin America, is the third airport in terms of passenger movement. It is also an airport that competes with Sao Paulo, Mexico, Panama, and Lima in terms of competitiveness. And it is also an airport that is constantly subject to the pressure of growth in terms of its passenger flow. In our opinion, the current passenger still has a surplus capacity, but the most important thing is that in the current airport, we still have important spaces to grow. So we have proposed an initiative that looks at expanding the current areas, improving the runways, also building a new runways, building a second terminal. And according to traffic forecast, at the end of that expansion, we should be thinking about building a second airport installation. I have just mentioned three projects, which are part of what we are building, structuring, and designing at Odinsa, again, to guarantee the company's growth, both in Colombia as well as in other regions that we are looking at as potential objectives. Daniel, we have taken a long time to answer your question, but again, the idea here is to be able to provide disclosure about those assets. I hope this information is useful. And the idea is to also offer to and let the whole community know that this group and all its executives are available to expand this information. The third part of your question was with regards to how the market values the assets in the portfolio. Well, the specific answer is that we believe that this structure has been quite powerful to long-term investors. We look at the value generation of these companies, both in Grupo Sura, Nutresa, Grupo Argos, in the long term. These companies have been value generators, and this structure has allowed not only to leverage and share the best practices between these groups to work solidarily in growth opportunities with regards to the specific lines of the each of the three holdings. And it has also allowed us to create a group of Colombian companies which are present in the world and that are emblematic in terms of value generation for shareholders in the country. So what I would say here is that I expect that when these efforts that we're conducting are seen, they're going to become more efficient, better value generators. We will be able to be better understood in the market. Again, we are conducting efforts to transmit to the market, change those things that do not allow us to project a real value of our assets. And I believe that this thing should be reflected in the valuation of Grupo Argos and of other companies. So, again, the answer to your question, and the specific answer to your question, is that, yes, we do work a lot with regards to increasing transparency and complementarity and quality of disclosure to the investment community. We all do that to be able to have our portfolios easily valued. Again, this is a portfolio that has historically generated value for shareholders and for Colombia as a country, and it has become a business platform that shows business that have been sustainable, that face the future, that face the opportunities in the Americas. So again, in this sense, this is where we are concentrating our efforts to be able to transmit this perception of value to the market. Can I ask you a follow-up question? Have you considered doing, well, the upset? Well, we have considered it, but currently it's not a project, but yes, it is an alternative that we keep open at open for the moment when the title prices or the market conditions are adequate. Yes, it is an option that we consider, but it's not currently in the possibilities of prompt execution by the company. With this, we conclude the question and answer session. We give the word to the panel members again for final comments. Okay, to all of you, thank you for being with us. Thank you for your question. Thank you for your comments. Again, this organization is available for you to ask any questions, any concerns that you may have. Natalia, the team of investor relations, and we are available to complement any answers. Thank you, and may God bless you. And again, thank you for participating. And with this, we conclude our teleconference. Now you can disconnect. Thank you.